Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Let's get to Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman with another woodland escape.
All right, well, welcome you back to Cabin Country again for another episode. I'm, of course, Bjorn Lloydsted, and next to me is Fudd Klugman.
Howdy-do.
How you doing tonight, Fudd?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Well, on this segment of Cabin Country, we're going to talk about something that seems to be an unfortunate reality with heading up north and or heading out west, heading down south, wherever you're headed, crossing the state border. If you're bound for the cabin in the lake country, sounds of the wind through the trees, there's inevitable car time, and quite a bit of car time usually involves.
That's right.
Especially for the younger set.
Most boring?
The dullest chunk of time in your life. It's you want to be there, you want to be there now. Sadly enough, probably the repeats of Are We There Yet? Which,
yes.
You've made this trip a couple times, you know full well.
Right.
We're not there yet. And so, Fudd, we are looking at the travel time required to get to that place you want to be. And we all know that place is the cabin and the lake and the dock and the water skis and all that great stuff. So the thing that always comes to mind for me, I know both our dads were working fellas. They had a job, and by gad, they were gainfully employed. And that meant, on a summer night, unless time was taken off, you were leaving on a Friday night, right when everybody else was getting on to Highway 10 or whatever road they were taking up north. And in my case, it was up north. I think yours as well.
Yep. You wanted to get the jump, but everybody else was getting the jump on the Friday evening departure, so
kind of turned into a drag strip to some extent. There were segments. I remember the old Highway 10 going through Blaine, Anoka, etc. The grand old days of the stoplights. And just, we avoided it. At all costs, we avoided it. In fact, we wouldn't hit 10 until we could kind of jump in somewhere around Monticello or something. You could avoid all those stoplights. But my dad drove that stretch through the cities, headed north, like perhaps he was racing for a professional team. He wasn't a speeder to speak of, but he loved to weave. There was a lot of weaving through traffic. And what that meant was, regardless of what was happening, you were sneezing your fool head off, nosebleed, I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I've just passed 75 cars. Yeah. We are not stopping to get behind them, so I have to do it all over again. And I don't know how that flew in your house, but I know that was part and parcel for the trip north.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a dad thing, a guy thing. It's like, no, we're getting it, and we're going to keep on the road until. And I don't know. Our drive was, it seemed like 6 hours, but it was only 2.5, 3 hours.
Yep, same 3 hour shot, 2.5 if he was really feeling his oats and hitting the gas. Hitting the gas, without a doubt. Always accompanied by a radio station you really didn't want to hear.
Well, yeah, with my dad, it was a mix of popular songs from the previous 20 years. If my mom happened to come along, she was a Well, she liked the modern music, so it was sort of, so it was either pop hits of today or pop hits of up until today. Yes, and I didn't really care for either one of them. I don't know what I would have preferred at the time.
Well, if you could get your station for a while, too, it would last for about 15 minutes, and then there'd be an, oh, I don't know how people can listen to this garbage, right. and cranking it back over to something mainstream and huge and AM.
Oh, yeah.
AM and monotone. It was unbelievable, crackling through the speakers of a Ford Pinto, and as you sat in the back hatch, which I don't think is legal at this point.
Not anymore.
Rubbing up against the polystyrene squeak of a huge Schmidt cooler packed with everything we were going to eat for the next 2.5 days. And I say 2.5 days, maybe two. Because you were going to beat the traffic to get up there. And, well, not to show our hand here too early, but inevitably it would turn into, when do we leave to get back home? To, again, beat the traffic and not get caught in some kind of, you know, awful cattle call standstill somewhere an hour shy of the Twin Cities. And
would it would happen anyways, or was your dad successful?
Well, you know, he was a guy, he was a farm kid, he knew small highways, he liked small highways. We would take every back road we could to some extents. I think the benefit being, maybe we're not stuck in freeway traffic, we're moving. Now we've added an extra 45 minutes, and we're going through towns you didn't even know existed. Uh-huh. And you maybe get caught behind farm equipment. You maybe get caught, you know, behind Grandpa and the blue blockers, who's just kind of out checking the fields at 30 miles an hour.
Right.
You know? But, oh, yes. But hey, we're still moving. We're not sitting. We're not sitting still.
That's right.
There's two lanes. If you need to, you make sure it's clear. You pass. And we'll get around this tractor, by gad, one way or another. So always kind of interesting. But yeah, that barrage of music, and it gets stuck in your head. And, you know, I'd have a whole weekend of Helen Reddy, the Carpenters, and no slam intended to these artists, no lawsuits needed, but yeah, hopefully the legal department can help us on that one. But boy, that Barry Manilow,
Helen Reddy,
Anne Murray, Michael Johnson.
Yes, indeed.
People singing something about Bogey and McCall. I don't even remember who that was. Oh, you're just looking at you, kid.
Rupert Holmes, is that his name? No, Mike.
Well, he was your pina colada guy.
Oh, okay.
He was talking about pina coladas, and there was the requisite kind of, oh, for my parents, about, oh, he's drinking songs. This is, I don't know. My mom was a church organist, and into the classical music and the spiritual music and anything popular from, say, the 1950s. As long as it didn't involve a guitar. And she referred to the stuff that they'd occasionally play on some of the big stations. Something involving a neighbor. I'll just leave it at that. Well, they're playing that Yaha music again. She always called it Yaha music. I'm not quite sure. The stuff blasting out of my room at the end of the hall was Yaha music. She didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. So yeah, there was plenty of talk and weather. What's it going to be like?
Here's the latest weather.
Greater Minnesota this weekend.
Overcast. And
the weather's going to be horrible, and that could even kill the trip if we were going up. I mean, and it would generally boil down to, well, we got to get up there. I got to mow the lawn.
Right. Yeah.
I got to mow the lawn.
Yes.
And make sure nobody did anything to our place. And then, you know, if the weather's that bad, we'll just turn around and come back. And all you could think as a kid was, oh no, we're going to make that Exodus style journey, and then Dad's going to mow the... No, I'm sorry. I'm going to mow the lawn, get all nice and gritty, pine needle dust, and then we're going to turn around and do it all over again.
Ah, yes. Now, on a side note, not to take away from the travel, but the lawnmower, I even enjoyed that. Yes, I would want to do it, but did your lawnmower work?
Well, most of the time. What happened was... And you might have a different tale here, Fudd, but I can tell you that in our situation, we would kind of wear out a lawnmower at home. And my dad was, like, again, a child of the Great Depression. You know, if it's still vaguely functional, you fix it. You get it back up and running. You talk to the local mechanic that you trust who, you know, can fix these kinds of things. And then the old lawnmower, again, I'm sitting in the hatchback of a Pinto, and I'm sitting next to a greasy, grass-smelling, you know, maybe a little old dog remnant on the tires. That's going up to the cabin with us in the back. all folded up. And yeah, it worked. Sometimes it, you know, it was like trying to start a chainsaw, which could also be in the same boat. And I'm guessing some of you know what I'm talking about. It's sat in the shed all winter. You put new oil in it, you fill it up, and you pull until your arm has gone numb and still not starting. You think about who's the local mechanic I can bring this into to create some noise for my neighbor's benefit. But yeah, it worked. It was always one of those that just sprayed the stuff out to the sides. And I'll tell you this much about where I went as a kid. It was an old resort. And the back lots, you had a front yard, and there was an old service road that kind of cut your yard in half, where the owner of the resort used to go through, you know, once or twice a week and pick up people's trash, bring it out into the woods on another service road he'd cut, and then just throw it out in the middle of the woods, which became a treasure trove for me as a kid. As a beer can collector, I was a collector of old junk, and I, you know, would be a budding antiquer, I guess, as a kid. It's all going home. It's going to go in my room. I'm going to fix it up. It's going to be cool. And my parents, God love them, were cool about that. I think it got me out of their hair for a while as I, you know, climbed about the trash out in the old dump, where people would shoot holes in beer cans with 22 rifles. I'd find those cherished cone top beer cans, you know, Schmidt City Club.
Oh, yes.
Ripped full of holes, and I'd just wince, you know, this could have been worth, according to my book, $35. Yeah, whoever's going to pay that, but... yeah, so the service road, and it cut through, and then that separated your backyard from your front yard. The backyard, it was big. It was like 100 yards deep and maybe 70 yards wide. But it was all old pine trees once upon a time. So the grass was thin, very rocky, and just old, old, old pine needles everywhere. And really rough, sharp, dry grass. So you'd cut this lawn, and it was a constant, just... clouds
of pine bits.
Clouds of pine bits. Yeah, you wore sunglasses so you didn't get stuff in your eyes. And when you were done, it was basically take your shirt off, jump off the dock, because you got to get
right.
You know, yesteryear's pine boughs off your skin. But yours didn't work. It sounds like.
No, all I remember is just pulling and pulling and pulling, and taking everything out and wiping it down. Soaking the spark plugs in a little gasoline to try to evaporate any oil that's got on it.
Hanging on for dear life, yeah.
So, same story, you know, you don't just pitch an old lawnmower. That's the one that goes up to the cabin and...
nurse it along.
Everything was like that. It was, if it wasn't the boat motor, it was that we couldn't get started. It was a lawnmower.
Well, I've been...
It's intermission time.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. All right, good. Now it's a word for our sponsor... and Don will tell us exactly which sponsor that's going to be. So hang tight, and we'll continue with Cabin Country in just a moment. Cabin Country would like to thank you for making the Cabin Country podcast the number one podcast on GSPN, the Gas Station Podcast Network. If your favorite gas station doesn't play Cabin Country while you are at the pumps filling your tank, please tell them that you want to hear Cabin Country while you gas up. Nothing says gas like Cabin Country. Tonight's broadcast brought to you in part by Fat and Glud's Holiday Boatels, floating vacation palaces for you and yours. Fishing, cruising the lakes, or pulling up to your favorite lakeside establishment, Fat and Glud's Holiday Boatels, Ossipee Corners, Minnesota. Also brought to you by Sombrero Muchacho's Pinto Spines Especial.
And by Livewire's Bait and Tire. Better than good, they're okay.
How's the bait?
Okay.
How are the tires?
Okay.
How's the bait?
Okay.
Now back to Bjorn Lloydsted and Fudd Klugman on Cabin Country.
How's the bait?
Okay.
Anyway, let's get back on the road. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Driving along and listening to your parents' music choice. Maybe trying to read a book, trying to read a comic book, staring at some road signs, whatever. Every now and again, it was my experience. Again, I was the last kid in the family. So there was a little more money floating around as my sisters had grown up and moved out, and it was just the three of us headed up. And I think it harkened back in my dad's sensibilities from the Great Depression in the 40s, the 50s. I was always screaming for the traditional road junk food. It's dinner time and we're out of the city finally. We're into the countryside. And, you know, you got two lanes going one way to the other. Maybe we can, there's some towns coming up and big towns, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we're going to stop somewhere. And I would always want to go places they were not intending we were ever going to set foot. And you can just run through the list in your mind of fast food joints that 9-year-olds like. But there were three specific places. And again, I don't think we're going to run the risk of any lawsuits. I don't think they exist anymore. I know of one for sure. We've been on the road for 2 hours. We had another 45 ahead of us. People were tired. People were hungry. Sun was already starting to set. And we'd hit a town called Piers, Minnesota, which was about 25 minutes maybe, south of Brainerd. And there were two places. Ironically enough, I married someone who spent a lot of time in Piers as a kid and had relatives there. And she was a big proponent of something called the Star Cafe, which I remember seeing, and we drove by it every weekend, went another block up to something called Main Street, the Main Street Cafe. And I you don't care when you're 8 or 9, the food is just food, and you're eating whatever you're eating, and it's there it is. I'm just going to eat it. I'm happy now. Always the candy counter on the way out. If you played your cards right, you might get something. What about my allowance? You know, hey, you know, I'll mow the lawn twice. I don't, yeah. But I want those, you know, bottle caps, or I want those chuckles or whatever. But my dad loved these kinds of places because it was always a guy or an old woman behind the scenes. You could see them through the window,
right?
You know, the pickup window and a white apron and making things that seemed to fit the needs of people who grew up in that time period. So he was at his happiest. He'd order something like a hot turkey sandwich with mashed potatoes and gravy. Hot beef sandwich with mashed potatoes. It was always one of those two. That was it. And I don't even remember what my mom ate. I kind of got the feeling she was just sort of along for the ride. So she'd pack the coolers I was sitting next to behind the lawnmower. And, you know, well, here's what we're having when we get there. But I just remember thinking there was that place. There was a place in Princeton, which might still be around. I'm not quite sure, but it had the interesting moniker, the K-Bob, another place just like this. If somehow the traffic wasn't awful, we'd stop in Monticello, and there was a place called Stella's, and it was the same thing. And my dad would always sit there and pine away nostalgically about wondering aloud at the past life of the grand old matron behind the counter who was doing all the cooking, and boy, it's a homemade kind of place. This is good. This is what you want. I'd sit there and say, well, it's certainly what you want. But, you know, if I you just shut up and ate and okay, whatever, and maybe I got candy. If I got candy, it didn't matter. Yeah, it didn't matter at all. I wouldn't say anything for the rest of the ride up.
My dad was a hamburger fan. We would stop at a pretty well-known chain for a hamburger, I think, especially if they had a deal.
Lucky guy, Fudd, a lucky guy.
But, I don't remember stopping that often. Again, it was like, the cooler, we had plenty of, there's a sandwich, some lunch meat, salami, you know, some cheese sticks.
Yeah.
And pretzel sticks or something.
Some kind of drink. There were always these, if I played my cards right, until I was about 11 when I realized these don't taste good anymore, but you get these plastic small bottles with foil lids.
Right, they're like barrels. They look
little
plastic
barrels, and they were orange, and they were red, and they were green, and they were blue, and they were purple. And I think those were the flavors, orange, green, red, blue, and purple. And they had some, you know, you peeled that foil thing off, and it said what it was, and it was just sweet.
Right.
Sweet
just sugar.
And colorful. And
drink.
And I didn't care. It came out of the cooler. It was cold. There you are. The inevitable stop. We finally got to our destination, and now it was time to stop. So when we were in town, you know, for me, that town was Cross Lake. That's all I remember. There was a brief spate where we owned some lake property outside of Annandale, and I don't know that it ever went anywhere. I remember going out there a few times to mow a huge lawn on the front of a lake. There was no property. It was property, obviously, but I mean, there was no structure, and there were plans of what was going to get built there. Always kind of toyed with. but never really acted on. It always, the lake, that particular lake always smelled like snails, algae, and cow manure. And it seemed like every time we got there, it was raining.
Oh.
And my sisters were still around at that point. I was a little sprout, but my sisters were there, and I remember them just sitting in the car reading a book and saying, when can we leave? The benefit there being it was a grand total of about an hour and 10 minutes away from home. But one of those things where there's cabins and barns and cows in the water. And you say to yourself, is this something I really want to jump in? And at that time, I don't even remember. But yeah, that was the one of them. But boy, when we got to Cross Lake finally, and this was the North Country now, there weren't cows. There were no cows. There was pine trees and maple trees and oak trees and docks and speedboats. And I loved it. You know, no wading cattle. No floating anything you couldn't identify, right. For the most part. We get to town. Now was the time to stop and put gas back in the car so you don't have to leave. You don't have to do it when it's time to leave town.
Right.
The tank is full, and we're not going to make any unnecessary trips while we're here. The beauty of that gas station, and there were a few of them in that town, was you fill your tank, and you go inside, and before you pay for your gas, you buy two dozen shiners, fatheads, you know, some kind of minnow. They've got all the bait right there, the bubbling tanks, and
right.
The big nets, and the bag full of air.
Yeah.
And my dad would get to the point where he'd just bring along his bait bucket. Just go ahead, put them right in here. We'll just, sure. It's good. Just top it up. Yep. Hold this, son. Don't let it spill. And I'd sit there, lawnmower in my back, squeaky Schmidt cooler against my spine. And now I was slopping bait bucket between my feet. I loved it. I didn't care. I'd sit there looking at the minnows, trying to grab them, all this kind of stuff. Took care of that. One last stop. And that was as you approach the bridge going over that channel. I think we talked about this earlier in the program at some point. The bridge going over the channel where I watched some denizen of the deep come up and eat a half-dead junk rough fish, whatever. It was a rough fish. They beat it to death. The head's gone. And, Loch Ness came up and swallowed it. Right prior to that, and this place I know is out of business because I've been through the town since. In fact, I think we both have. Channel Liquors, Cross Lake, Minnesota. Maybe some of our followers will remember the good old days of Channel Liquors. Right across from a boat works. And that was his last stop. That was his last stop, and he'd go in, and I got to go in with him because they always had dumb suckers.
Uh-huh.
And I'd stand there, and maybe I could mooch a six-pack, a Coke or something. Hey, how about something better than the drink right. Mom's got in the cooler?
Orange drink.
Real stuff, real fizzy stuff, And he'd get six cans or 12 cans of something American, something hoppy and American and easy to drink and cold. And we'd walk out, and I'd have a dum-dum shoved in my mush, and we'd get back in the car, and I'd hold the bait bucket and try not to get run over by the lawnmower. And then we were there. We were almost there. You were in town. It was good. I'd beg for snacks. They'd say, we just ate. You remember? You were with us. And I'd say, oh, yeah, and I'd start eating my candy. And it was good stuff. But, yeah, I remember that you don't really stop until it's absolutely necessary. You don't stop at one of those diners from yesteryear. To think about, there's mom back there behind the counter, greasy apron, she's making my hot beef sandwich. And once that's over, that's great. You get to town, tank up, get your bait, get your beer. Kid's got his dum-dum. We're all good. Go to the cabin. Key to off, car doesn't move. Unless you need something from the lumberyard. Maybe you're going to make that run. Or mom's getting bored, and we're going to go to the antique stores because dad wants to work on the shed or do some fishing, and mom's going to go into town and look at some antique stores. And I kid you not, every other business in these small towns up north is an antique store.
All the old stuff is up there, apparently.
Apparently. There's anything, any product you own, once it hits 20 years old, just vanishes and appears in somebody's home in cabin country. So... And they mark it up to about $50 and say, come on in. Have at it. So that was the trip. Thankfully the radio would turn off and no more sad songs about you left with my dog or anything along those lines. And time to get to the business of cabin stuff,
Righto.
Warm up that TV, turn on the pump, let's go.
We'll certainly see to it that the ads take off.
Let me... Bad boy.
All right, Don.
Thank you, Don. Indeed, the show cannot continue without a word from our sponsors or the sponsor of your choosing, Don. So go ahead and figure out which one you'd like to endorse at this time. Stick around for more Cabin Country after this.
Bean feed.
A long day's angling or an end to the afternoon's water skiing brings with it a trophy-sized hunger. And no place satisfies that hunger better than the Cracklin' Jack Pine, Crow Wing County's unique supper club. Cracklin' Jack's offers you the finest house salads with your choice of dressings, an anchor-sized foil-wrapped baked potato, and all the tap beers and mixed drinks you've come to expect when dining out. And the kicker? You get to cook your own meat to your own personal likings and tastes. Bring in your own porterhouse, T-bone, or New York strip. You're the chef. You decide when your meat is medium rare or well done. And if you'd like to leave the meat course to us, we proudly offer our half-pound whitetail frank, a mighty link that will sizzle and hiss on our custom 15 by 20 foot char grill that you'll find in the Jack Pine Grill Room. Any seasoning you might need is there for you, and you'll never run out of butter. Join us at the Cracklin' Jack Pine. Your chef's hat and apron are optional, and reservations are still strongly suggested. The Cracklin' Jack Pine is now proudly offering a mix of Roquefort and French dressings for those who like something a little different on their salads. We hope to see you soon at the Cracklin' Jack Pine.
Now back to Bjorn Lloydsted and Fudd Klugman, Cabin Country.
Hey, you better watch your hat and coat.
Well, one thing that came to mind too, kind of touched on it already, but was the unfortunate reality of getting there and enjoying your first night, and Saturday's into fruition, and you've mowed the lawn and eaten pine needles, and...
Mm-hmm.
You maybe got it started finally and got the dust and got it all cut, and that's all good. Avoided the poison ivy. Poison oak. That seemed about the only thing. People would talk about poison oak. I've never seen this stuff. To this day, I don't think I've ever seen poison oak.
Me neither.
Stinging nettles everywhere. Which I'm told by poor, missing-in-action deceased Ewell Gibbons is totally edible. Boil it, and it's delicious. Vitamin C-packed, but obviously the grabbing of it, you're going to want gloves on. But another topic for another day. We're all ready now as the sun is starting to set behind the oak trees across the lake, and I'm watching people, you know, fire up the engines and get make, oh, our lights are on now. We got the front end lights and the flag is flying from our light on the back, and we're going to go out for an evening cruise, maybe do some night fishing, that kind of thing, evening. And I'm already starting to hear what I don't want to hear, and that is, well, when are we leaving? When are we getting out of here? There's traffic. What are we going to do?
Not the traffic. Now, is that your dad asking that or your mom? What?
You know, it was usually started by my dad because he did all the driving.
Oh, yes.
And
he's just started worrying about it at some
point. Well, yeah. You know, he got concerned about it. He was not a, I'm up to the cabin, I'm going to kick loose and knock back this old 12-pack and late night and loud and maybe jump in the water in my birthday suit or anything crazy like that. He was a upright fella, you know, and Saturday nights, 10 o'clock, time to have your mixed drink and watch Johnny Carson or whatever. I don't even remember what they watched. I mean, you know, whatever was on that one channel we got. 10 o'clock at night in their pajamas, and neighbors are whooping it up, and there's cars coming and going, and they're already getting time to maybe think about turning in. And yeah, there's talk already of, you know, maybe we should have left tonight. I don't know. And I'm thinking, you know, we spent maybe 27 hours here at this stage. What do you mean we're going home? You know, there's another big boat trip I want to do. The chain we were on, I could never tell. 15, 17 lakes? I don't remember. I know I never, you know, in the 15 odd years I went up there, we never saw all of them. We never got to every lake. And I loved being in that boat and just ripping it open. You know, it was 16-foot tri-hull with a 50-horse motor. And I thought, man, we've arrived. You know, we graduated from the 5-horse up to the, we got an 18-horse. getting pulled around on a kneeboard behind the fishing boat with the 18-horse Evinrude and, you know, ripping it up, and this is great. We can finally get moving. Remember watching my dad try to water ski behind that? He got some water skis. And my sister at the helm of the 18-horse and just cutting it wide open, and my dad on water skis. It looked like he was waist deep in the lake with two wooden tips up by his chin being pulled along, hanging on for dear life. It's like there's a drowning man on two boards behind a barely moving fishing boat going by the front of the cabin. And, you know, I wanted to be in the boat, and of course it was like, you can't, because then we slow down and dad's just going to sink, you know.
Yeah.
So we finally graduated up to the quote-unquote speedboat, and it, I think it could handle every, and something up to an 80, or it would be too heavy for the back of that boat.
Right.
So I kept pushing. How about a 75? You know, you could really haul me around the lake on those skis that you used to drown on. And, we had a 50. 50, by gosh, that was good enough. Used, of course. Required a little maintenance every now and again. He was a former Navy mechanic. He could do it. It's fine. We got this. And so we had that, and I wanted to see every inch of every lake, and good Lord, it never did happen. 15 years, it never really did happen. But Saturday night, we're already thinking about, wait, do we go home? We get up at 5? What should we do? And we could have breakfast on the road. I could make something. We'll eat in the car. No. No, please. Please, God, no.
Just as you're acclimating.
Yep.
I don't want to leave.
Don't want to leave.
It's not long before your dad's thinking about the turnaround.
Let's get back home, because the lawn home needs mowing.
Yeah, that's right.
And I got to go to work tomorrow.
Well, you want to beat the traffic. You got to get home, mow the lawn before it gets dark, and get ready for Monday. And
got to go to work. It was a good day, a good week, when he'd taken more days off. And as kind of his boss, his own boss, he could say, well, I'll be back on Wednesday. So then we could stay through to Tuesday, and he didn't have to worry. No traffic. Sunday night, he's mixing his drink and his jammies, watching the one channel on our pink TV. Supposed to be black and white. For years, it was pink. I could never figure that out. I grew up watching pink TV at the cabin, and getting the hog futures and things like that at a small town Walker and Alexandria.
Weather reports, news.
Hog futures. I could never figure that out, but you'd think I would have known, coming from an extended family of outstate farmers. It's important stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Even if you're not farming yourself, it's just good to know. Well, I guess the farmers were in the area, so.
They were, and we saw them. They were retired, and they were cruising along in their homemade 55-gallon drum pontoons with their decalb hats and their, I went with Funk's Hybrid. That seems like, I remember seeing the baseball cap. Funk's Hybrid. And old guy with his pipe and going down the lake. And
right.
Man, other than the motor, you built every inch of that thing. I appreciate that. That's cool. Goes 5 miles an hour. There's no one on the lake. Everyone's left. The weekend's over, and you're out there just cruising around. And wetting a line.
Something he made himself? Somebody probably paid him to take the metal off somebody else's hands?
Absolutely. Got all these 55-gallon drums. I got no idea what to do with them. How about you make a boat? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make a boat.
Absolutely. Fudd, we were talking about so many things we might approach with the new episode and some of the old things that came to mind. Heavy weather in cabin country, what you do when the weather gets nasty and you realize you're in a very small piece of real estate.
That's right.
Listening to the sky open its fury. That was a possibility, and of course there's also the talk of, for those keen on all the cable channels with home decorating and interiors and all that fun stuff.
Who gets to decorate
the cabin? Perpetual arguments. Who gets to decide the theme decor for that cabin that you consider so serious a part of your life? Who wins out, I guess, ultimately? Which theme do you go with? But tonight we thought we'd take a tip of the cap to yesteryear, just for starters. And of course, we're looking at a piece of Minnesota cabin country history. Infamous and sadly long gone Schmidt Beer Scenic Can Collection.
Yes.
I recall years back listening to the twins on local TV and seeing Sadly, long gone, broadcaster Ray Scott.
I'm Ray Scott. I'll be calling the plays for you during the first half.
He tended to call a lot of sporting events, but he also was the voice on television for the Schmitz Scenic Collection. Get yourself a 24-pack today. Start your collection now. I miss those days. I've tried finding him on various channels on the internet to try to see some of those great old spots and hear Ray Scott's voice bringing me back to my youth. The Schmitz Scenics, I know my dad liked them. From time to time, there'd be various Scenics sitting in the cabin fridge, waiting for him to come down from re-roofing or priming the pump or something along those lines, getting the boat ready or the lawn freshly mowed. Boy, nothing, I guess, spoke to him. In the summer, like after a hot, dusty task, a cold Schmitz Scenic. The beauty, of course, Fudd, of the Scenics. Care to take it?
Each one had a nice scene of hunting or fishing. And I can't remember how many there are, but I think when we were growing up, we just wanted to collect them. Do you remember how many there were?
Strange old collection we called beer can collecting. And if I'm not mistaken, there's 24 Scenics.
Wow.
They came in that handy, you know, carryable 24 can case.
Oh.
And each beer, each beverage provided a new piece of artwork for you to sit back and enjoy and hopefully remember in half an hour from now.
Yeah, right.
You're not working on 23 and forgetting how to spell your name. But the Schmitz Scenics, they all had some kind of beautiful artwork. So tonight we're going to pay an homage to the Scenic Collection. Right in front of me, as a good kid who collected beer cans, I have in front of us all 24 cans of the Schmitz Scenic Collection.
That is amazing. Now, you know, we should have sort of a quiz to see how many we could identify before looking at them, but I'd have to admit right now, other than the Muskellunge and maybe Canadian honkers, the geese, I can't remember the other 22. So
well, I know you had white-tailed deer.
Oh yeah, of course. It's
there was the bison on the prairie.
Ah.
There was the race cars on a racetrack. I can only guess at the Minnesota State Fair.
Or the BIR.
Could be Brainerd International Raceway, absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Which, I might add, I think on a good day you could hear from your Gull Lake locale.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sounds of cars racing.
If you canoe up, the further upriver you go, of course, you start to hear it. And
the pit crews cursing, air wrenches cranking, engines racing.
Yes,
good stuff. And the one that always kind of made me pine nostalgic was the big freight train.
Oh, yeah.
There's one can that always had a big freight train on it. But other than that, I know there's more. There's 24 of them. I think we covered about six. So
yeah, holy cow.
So, Lord knows what we'll pull out. So we're going to look at least one, possibly two. Who knows? Maybe we'll get crazy.
It's sort of the Schmitz scenic drawing of the night.
It is the drawing. So I'll take the cap off this box of Scenics. And now dig deep into the Scenic Collection and produce the first one we will discuss. And oh my goodness, Fudd, will you look at that.
Ice fishing. Pulling out other than a big muskie.
There it is, isn't it? A Muskellunge. He's got one on the ice, laying still, and one coming up through the hole in the ice. We look to the side, of course, the bait bucket, which I'm hoping isn't frozen solid. He's got a giant ice cube full of dead minnows, and then yet another fish. Some kind of, I'm not sure what that's supposed to be. He's got like an ice pick there, and then, of course, his ice shaving spoon.
Oh, yes.
For getting the shavings out of the ice fishing hole. He's on a frozen body of water, and he's got ice houses around him. But of course, being a real Schmitz drinking Minnesotan, he's not in an ice house. They're all in their houses, and he's enjoying the cold water through the ice. No shelter, wearing a classic red and black hunter's cap. The ear flaps down, I think, and
indeed,
all flanneled up. Those might even be Will Steger mucklucks on his feet. Don, we're not going to get in legal trouble, right? No, I don't think so. Good, great Minnesota company. So, there it is, the musky fisherman on the ice.
Beautiful.
Well, I'm going to set down the ice fisherman, and I'm going to go ahead and dig deep. Actually, Fudd, you want to do honors this time?
Oh, okay, all right.
Looking. He's going completely blind into this.
I'm trying to go deep.
Hear the cans clinking.
That's okay. It's funny. Of course, you pull them out and you go, oh, yes, I remember that one. Are these pronghorns?
Pronghorn antelope.
Yes, indeed.
Pronghorn antelope. You don't see a lot of these in Minnesota. Maybe to the west.
South Dakota?
Near the South Dakota border. But pronghorn antelope, a couple drinking out of a body of water and one looking very alert. Off in the distance, some buttes, some mesas, and a windmill from the looks of it.
Right.
Farmer's windmill. Now, do you have any pronghorn stories from Fudd's life of the past? Fudd, do you...
No. I always thought that was like... that would be on somebody's outdoors show from their exotic trip out west somewhere, you know? I never saw any...
Well, I do have a short tale to tell concerning the mighty pronghorn antelope. I know a couple things. I mentioned a cousin of mine earlier who hunts everything that has a pulse.
Yes.
And several of his trips found him in the Dakotas and near Wyoming, closer to us than headed west. You're just into Wyoming, but he was doing some pronghorn hunting and came back, of course, with his limit, which I don't know what the limits are on pronghorn antelope, as we don't really see them much here, but asking him at one point, well, what do you do with it? And getting a very curt Minnesotan, well, you eat it. I said,
what
okay,
else?
Well,
what
I guess I figured that. How do you like it? It's fine. We're not going to go much deeper than this, are we?
Nope.
All right. Oh. But another sidelight, I was taken during the years of the great Carter administration gas shortage. Remember those days?
Oh, yes.
Lines at the gas pumps and gas stations running out of gas and all this kind of stuff, and it almost threw a wrench into a family trip we were going to take that summer. It was my sisters had long moved out. It was just my mom and dad and I. Don, we'll get that later. And myself and a brand spanking new chartreuse Ford Pinto. And I did not want to take the Pinto, and we may have taken the bigger car that actually had a non-functioning air conditioner, but it had at least the promise of an air conditioner. I knew we were going to go west, and my dad had it in his head, my gosh, we got to get out to Yellowstone. Got to do it. We're going to go through parts of North Dakota, see Teddy Roosevelt's old hunting cabin. We go through the little bighorn battlefield. We're going to see... I believe it was either Spearfish, South Dakota, or Lead, South Dakota, where Wild Bill Hickok was shot, holding the infamous dead man's hand. I think that might have been Aces and Eights, if I'm not mistaken. Shot through the back while he was playing his card game. And then ultimately we're going to find ourselves in Yellowstone. And as a kid, just kind of used to lakes and trees and the Twin Cities. It was quite an experience crossing the border, being... You know, hours and hours of South Dakota just felt like it went on forever.
Yes.
And sunflower fields and then kind of wastelands. And all of a sudden, they started showing up. And I just remember my dad going, well, look out the window, kid. And sure enough, pronghorn antelope. And first it was like one or two or three. And then pretty soon it was 10, 20. Dad, look at all the pronghorn. Hey, Mom, check that out. Oh, my goodness, yes. And it got to the point soon where there were hundreds of these things.
Wow.
They were everywhere. To the point, sadly, where it was no longer an event. It was like, there's more antelope. What's in the cooler? You know, I'd start peeling the lid off that squeaky styrofoam cooler and looking through. You got any more of those juice barrels?
Yeah.
You brought comic books, right? There's more pronghorn. Yeah, pronghorn antelope.
Another 200 or so over there. Look at that.
Well, it got to the point, I think, at one point where they were coming across the freeway.
Oh my God.
People were slowing down because they were just pronghorn bouncing across the freeway. But they do have an interesting gait if you've never seen them. I mean, they almost spring. They don't run so much as they almost bounce.
Right.
And they were everywhere. My goodness. Now, ironically, we took our kids on a driving trip out west and getting out to the Badlands. And I kept telling the kids before we left, man, you're not going to believe it. There's going to be pronghorn antelope everywhere. We're going to probably even have to stop the car at points because they're going to be crossing the freeway. Oh, that's cool. All the way through South Dakota into what? Where were we? Wyoming, I think we got at one point. Not a one. There wasn't a pronghorn to be seen.
Huh.
At one point, I think my son might have turned around. Where are all these antelope you keep talking about? Yeah, I don't know. I know we did a trip, too, in the train once. We took the Empire Builder from St. Paul, Minnesota, all the way out to Glacier. There, too, I thought, man, we're on the train. We're going right through the heart of scrub country. There's going to be just antelope everywhere. It's going to be crazy. We might even see some bison and this, that, and the other thing. Not a one. I don't know. Maybe those hunters got so good at it that the pronghorn have gone into hiding, or I'm not sure. But
I guess it's the trend, but that's unfortunate.
It is. It is, and it was. I just remember thinking, man, it was the late 70s, and they were everywhere, and now it's the mid-90s, and, boy, you can't find a pronghorn to save your... Mid-90s, late 90s, early 21st century, and there was just nothing to be seen. Nothing to be seen at all.
I think there are more buffaloes coming back because they're being farmed and raised than
absolutely.
Antelope,
yeah, buffalo farms. Got those right here in the Twin Cities. Don't have to go all that far to find herds of bison right here in the greater Twin Cities area. So, I know we saw a crew last time we were headed up past Chisago Lakes. There was a guy farming bison out there. My kids thought that was amazing, and I was like, yeah, that is cool.
Right, more exciting than the one or two they have at Como Park.
Look at that. Standing around.
Right.
Looking at you. Anyway, now I do want to mention, these cans are of a vintage for those out there who remember the great old days of beer can collecting. I've got one in my hand here that they still printed strong on the top.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You didn't get confused. This isn't 3-2 beer. And this one must be a newer one, because it's got the pop-top lid that kind of folds back on itself, and you're not throwing any waste away. But I got a couple here that are the old style, the old version, where at the top, you know, in fact, this one, somebody even dropped the tab right in the can, which to me always seemed a little dangerous. What if you drink the thing and shred your esophageal? But, yeah, again, with the strong on top, dispose of properly. Please don't litter. Don't throw these pop tops, beer tops, into the rivers, creeks, and lakes so that people step on them, cut up their feet. I know many would say, oh, come on, that's a tale. Nobody ever did that. I, for one, did.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Laced open my big toe once, stepping on a beer tab. I was dug down in the mud.
Oh, dear.
Cruising around our dock, so it could happen. Could absolutely happen, but boy, these were a treasure when I found them.
Oh, yeah, that's so exciting. Oh, my gosh, look at this. Do I have this one?
Well, ironically, I think I've mentioned that behind our cabin way out in the woods was sort of this old dump full of things that to a kid my age was just sort of like, my God, this is amazing, you know. All this old stuff, and yes, it's all rusty and full of 22 bullet holes, but wow, and the bulk of this collection came right out of that,
really?
That fascinating trash dump. So, yes, indeed. Well, we have more Schmidt Scenics for a future installment of the Scenic Moment. So perhaps it's a good point to let Don take things over and get a word in from the sponsors. I'll reshelve these cans. Pick it up with the next topic. Let's see.
Sounds good to me.
All right, sir. Don? A bottle of beer. A bottle of beer.
We'd like to encourage you to stick around after Cabin Country each week and slow down a bit. Pick up some of the small town wisdom of today and yesteryear with good old Lloyd.
Thank you, thanks. It's so good to be here with all of you again. I'm Lloyd. Well, now, it's been a slow week in Baxter. It's time to open up the cabin. It brought back memories of heading up to the shack with Gramps, and this time of year we'd head up, and after the long drive he'd have us sit in the car, and... Oh, my, is that... Oh, that's my song already. I'll just get right into it. Gramps... You made us happy up there. The shack was so much joy to us.
That's Lloyd. Good old Lloyd. And don't forget to stick around every week for Lloyd's special musical guests.
Well, this week our musical guests are Billy and Johnny. So I see you must be Billy and you're Johnny.
That's right, Lloyd.
And I see the, is this right? The name of the song is Sweet Ball Peen?
Kind of folksy Americana, Lloyd.
Folksy America, Sweet Ball Peen. Well, that's a hammer, isn't it?
That's right, Lloyd.
Well, yeah, it's a ball peen hammer. You know, my grandpa had several of those in his tool. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Funny about the sweet ball peen. One end drop, t'other clean.
Good old
you
Lloyd.
You can drop forwards, that's guaranteed. Sweet ball peen, you're a clean.
Oh!
This Sasquatch remains unshaven, shaven, shaven.
Now back to Bjorn Lloydsted and Fudd Klugman on Cabin Country.
Shaven, shaven.
In my day, starting up in Cabin Country, the mighty Whitefish chain, and many of you know it and love it, and in the 70s, it was a lot of homemade boats, it was a lot of quiet, it was, I mean, a lot of lakes. Again, I don't know the exact number, somebody could Google it for us, or someone from the DNR, or the Chamber of Commerce in Cross Lake, or whatever. Oh, no, it's 15, no, 17, 13, there's a lot of lakes. You could be on the water all day long, never seen see the same stretch of water all day long, but that has changed. That has changed mightily over the last, when a good friend of ours, Fudd, is in real estate and was dreaming of perhaps going up there to cash in and maybe relocate because he loved the area so much. And the joke now is it's referred to as Minnetonka North. And,
oh, yes.
And with the McMansions that have replaced our old fishing shacks have
yes.
come, you know, the sea rays, the inboards with... You know, there's the cabin underneath, and you can get 15 of your friends on there and fire up the subwoofer. And the sad thing is, Fudd, I think one of those right now goes for about what I paid for my house, which is frightening. Absolutely frightening. So
that's the way of it.
The way of things. It is the way things are done.
I guess if you want to be in debt,
there's got to be a way. I'll go back to this over and over again. You know, for those of us that love Cabin Country and spent a lot of time in it, and, you know, you're still there. God love you. You're still there enjoying every second of it, and you're making the most of it. We pulled out at one point because of rising costs. And sadly, as kids become young adults, they tend to go their own way and kind of lose interest or whatever. And then once it's too late, they look back and say, gee, you know, had we perhaps hung on to that. I always come back to there's got to be a way for the average Joe, you know, or the average Josephine, to get themselves in there and find a way to make it work and not have to take out a fifth mortgage on the house and say goodbye to the kids' college fund and the whole bit, just to kind of get your feet back in the Cabin Country, because it's tough to reestablish yourself once it's gone. But let that be a lesson to you out there. If you've still got your place, hang on to it like grim death, because if once it's gone, it's gone. And really, I mean, what fun. I mean, how much better can it be? There's nothing better than sunsets and loon calls on a lake and you know, as the temperatures are getting a little cooler on a July evening, August night. I mean, it's all good.
Are you done, Bjorn?
Yes. Yes, I'm done.
You're sounding a little maudlin there.
Getting a little weepy. I apologize.
It's getting choked up, but... a sad story. Well, let's talk about our other episodes we've got to look forward
yes,
to.
Yes, Cabin Country of the near future. If you want to hang with us again in upcoming episodes, we're going to be looking at hunting instead of fishing here at Fudd. Cabin as a base camp for some woodland adventures during gun season or perhaps bow season.
We'll also talk about the various sea vessels we've had and the good, the bad, and the ugly motors that either propelled or failed to propel our boats.
Heavy weather? What do we do when Mother Nature gets angry? What do we do in Cabin Country? And the time-honored tradition, Fudd, of putting in the dock.
Oh, yes.
Successes, the occasional heartbreak.
Also, in springtime when we get cabin fever and spend the time going through our tackle boxes, taking inventory of all the cool lures we've collected and all the cool ones yet to buy, and many more cans from Bjorn's Schmidt Scenic Beer Can Collection to go through.
That will be Cabin Country in the near future. Future episodes, we hope you will join us again and refill your coffee cup. Fudd, any last thoughts?
Just a quick thanks to Engineer Don and his audio sound effects library and his peculiar musical contributions.
We look forward to you joining us on Cabin Country next time out.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.